why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful, wonderful week so far. So, guys, today we are not going to have all of our preliminaries because we have a very special guest by the name of Kenneth Montgomery Esquire, Legal Eagle, defense attorney extraordinaire, who is going to come on the show, share the mic with me, and talk about this Jussie Smollett saga. There has been so much crazy rhetoric in these streets about what he's done and what it means for Black America, and whether or not what he did is equatable to Barbecue Becky, all sorts of craziness. And so we are going to discuss it and put some of these stories to bed. But before we get into the meat of the show, we do have a quick word from our sponsors. Trendy Tripping is a co-retailing space that allows artists, entrepreneurs, and startups the opportunity to showcase and sell their products without the risk of renting their own retail space. So if you want more information about Trendy Tripping or to be part of the trendy market, find them on Instagram at Trendy, T-R-E-N-D-Y, Tripping, T-R-I-P-P-I-N-G. So although we are not doing, you know, our womp womps and our big ups today, although I guess the Jussie situation is probably the womp womp. Either way, you know we cannot move forward without doing the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I'm on fleek. Is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So ironically, or maybe not ironically enough, this week's Urban Dictionary of Word of the Week, crap, is Jussie Smollett. Now, Jussie has found his way into the Hall of Fame of Urban Dictionary like Brett Kavanaugh has. So Urban Dictionary has several definitions for Jussie Smollett. First one being lying, making up stories in hopes of receiving more attention or clout and sympathy, and not knowing when to stop when you've got caught. Example, I can't believe he just pulled a Jussie Smollett. Example number two, a current day narcissist that, like the original, will drown and die to will drown and die thanks to his egocentrism. To go to any extreme in order to get attention without thinking of the potential consequences. Example, Trevor Noah says, Jussie Smollett deserves an Emmy for the Good Morning America interview. Well, my people, there you go. All right, everyone. I am here with my very special guest, Kenneth Montgomery. Kenneth, say hello.
Hey. Hello. How are you?
So tell us a little bit about who you are first.
I'm just a, you know, black guy floating in a rock through space trying to figure it out and in wacky America. I'm a trained litigant, trial attorney or litigator, former prosecutor. I teach law school. I teach undergrad. Do a lot of federal defense, from terrorism to capital murder cases, conspiracy, you name it.
Okay. And where are you based out of?
I'm based out of New York, mainly in Southern District and Eastern District of New York, and state courts as well. But I also travel around the country on depending on the death penalty case that I may be involved with. And I also do some other things, civil rights and some other areas as well.
Okay, cool. So it seems like you are America's trial attorney.
Yeah.
America's black,
yeah,
trial,
yeah,
attorney.
Black trial attorney. That's funny.
All right. So today I wanted to have you on the show because I feel like you are a wealth of information, probably one of the best possible guests for this particular topic. Mm. So Jussie Smollett, everybody's been talking about it.
Everyone.
People are still, even like as we speak right now, there are new articles.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about this guy, this Empire star.
The world is falling apart.
Yes.
And everybody's
well, the black community is, you know, the LGBTQ community, they're all, you know, they're all at risk now because of this situation.
You're being facetious, but yeah.
Well, it sounds like it from the way, you know.
It's... It's really overwhelming how much this story is covered, to be quite honest with you. It's on every news cycle. It's on CNN. It's on entertainment news. It's it's everywhere. It's on the internet. Little kids are talking about it. Grown-ups. It's everywhere. So,
I mean, when I first heard the story weeks ago, I guess when it first broke out, you know, I kind of like, I heard it and I was just like, okay.
Something didn't add up.
Something just didn't add up, because I think on the day, I think it was January 29th was when the incident took place. I feel like that's when the polar vortex was going on around that time.
It was around that time.
And so when I was looking at the facts, you know, he was in Chicago, 2 a.m. trying to get a sandwich and these two guys.
It was a lot of details. It was very, for something that happened without police saying anything, it was a wealth of detail.
Yeah.
Which I thought was odd.
And I felt like I was there because that's how.
It was very descriptive of what happened. And yeah, it was. And he was making the cycles, interviewing about it and almost attempting. I think he described himself as the gay Tupac.
Yes.
And very calculating. From what I saw, it was odd.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
It was very odd for me too. And I must have missed the major detail that the two individuals who I guess allegedly—
The brothers
were Nigerian.
Yeah.
Black people.
I didn't even realize that until, you know, we live in this world now, in such a factoidal world where you don't know what's real and what isn't. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing all these memes of these two guys and I just assumed it was a meme. I actually didn't—
Me too. —think that it was— I didn't think it was real.
Yeah, I didn't think it was real.
Yeah, so once I saw that and I'm like, so these two African Nigerian men—
They're brothers, right?
—brothers yelled out, "This is MAGA country," and called him all these racist slurs and homophobic slurs. I was just like, nah, now I know that something is totally up.
It's kind of,
It's a bit off. So now that, you know, the news has kind of, I don't know if we can say confirmed.
I think if they've arrested him and they've spoken to those two brothers, I think it's about as close as you can to being confirmed that it didn't happen.
Okay.
In my opinion.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel.
And I don't think his defense is going to be that it did happen at this point. Particularly the counsel that he has sought and now the direction that the case is going in, you know?
Yeah, I know. I think it might have been, if it wasn't yesterday, the day before, Jesse had went down to, I guess, the Fox headquarters, or not the Fox headquarters,
he went back to the set.
To the set, yes, to go apologize. And he still maintained his innocence, though. So I'm a little confused as to what that is.
I think this young man, how old is he?
36.
Oh, he's not that young of a man.
He's not that young of a man, but he's not that old of a
man. He's not.
But he's within reason.
He's not a child.
He's not a child.
He's a grown man. Mm-hmm. He's clearly a grown man.
Yeah.
But he's a grown man who I would go out on a limb to say has some issues.
Mm.
It's clear.
Yeah.
You know, going to your set of Empire, which I think somehow Empire is, aren't they at the source of this in a sense that they were saying he received some threats.
Some death threats.
Death threats in a letter that ended up being Anderson or something. And he didn't feel that it was dealt with appropriately there. But him going to his job to do that is kind of, it's sort of showing that this man is not in a good space.
Is not all there, yeah.
He's not in a good space.
Yeah.
Like something's going on. From him that he requires some self-reflection right now. He requires some self-care to really take a step back and see what's going on. But it seems like he is caught up in the spectacle.
I think so too.
And it's hard to remove himself.
Now, so Jesse's been arrested. And so people have questions as to the false reporting. Yes, apparently it's a felony. Where he's at.
Well, yeah, because in New York, it depends on the level of it. But yeah, different jurisdictions equate crimes differently. But apparently in Chicago, it's a felony.
And so a lot of people are wondering, you know, Well, one, people are wondering why he got arrested. And two, people are wondering, because people are like, well, people make false allegations and false crimes all the time.
People have to be careful because that is not a defense. Like if you get, you know, that think about it. That's not a defense. Think about it in your house and you have children and one of your children lights the garbage can on fire. Mm-hmm. And then the next summer, the other child lights the garbage can on fire and says, well, Tom did it. That doesn't excuse your behavior, particularly if your behavior can run you afoul of the law. Mm,
okay.
So when I don't know what people are asking for, or what are they insinuating or inferring when they pose that question? Are you posing that white society treats black people differently in crime? Well, you kind of know the answer to that already. Absolutely. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Of course they do. Does that make it right? Absolutely not. And hell no. Does it excuse someone who is clearly in violation of a crime for their behavior? I don't think so.
Well, I think that's really where the issue is. I think that people are not seeing it like that. Mm-hmm. They're not seeing like the law, like, you know, being a law-abiding citizen is something that you need to be. Mm-hmm. And that whatever racial issues are going on in the background doesn't necessarily negate.
It's not a defense.
Yeah. And I think that people are thinking it's a defense because a lot of the discourse that I've been hearing and seeing memes on social media has more so been about, well, we have Barbecue Becky, we have Permit Patty, we have all these other individuals, these white women who've been calling police, making false claims, false allegations.
Well, take those two people. They are complaining about black presence. Mm-hmm. That's what those people are doing. Black Becky, Barbecue Becky. Or whatever the hell.
Permit Patty.
Like they're complaining about black presence. Mm-hmm. They're not constructing a false narrative. The difference is Jesse, if you look at it on its face, the accusation now is that he created a false narrative and made a report with the police about that false narrative. Mm-hmm. And that is the difference. Those people, it was clear because those people were being filmed contemporaneously when they were making their complaints. So the world got to see what was going on, and so did the police. And the police arrived, and they're looking, and they're seeing, and they're like, yo, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
This is totally different than that. This is someone making a false report. Now, you know what the comparable comparison is to this? The white woman who says she was kidnapped and raped by black men. Mm-hmm. And there has been hundreds of those stories over the years. And it turns out that she made it up. And that's what that's comparable.
That I could understand.
No, that's the comparable scenario. But I don't think it's comparable to those things that people
to the permit patties.
Yeah, I don't think it has any relationship.
So Jesse is facing about 1 to 3 years. This felony carries.
He ain't going to jail.
You don't think he's going to jail?
This is what's gonna happen. He got his high powered lawyer. I will go out on a limb and say his lawyer is probably white.
Most likely Jewish, of the Jewish persuasion.
Show you how race is in America. The black person who's championing the black rights. When he gets in that hot water and that water gets turned on and gets hot, he gets his white lawyer. Mm-hmm. Possibly. And I may be wrong. You're going to have the right, because this has become fodder for cultural entertainment in our society. You have people in this binary world pro him, anti him, but it's a little bit nuanced in that because now you have the sexuality thing that breaks down the race even more in a certain sense because you have heterosexual men and women who is like, yo, this is bullshit. Mm-hmm. Because you still have men pissed off that, yo, when this happened, the straight black men were getting called out.
Exactly.
How did that happen? So now you have this thing where it's fodder for cultural entertainment. So you're going to have forces from a cultural standpoint who say, yo, look, he should be called to the carpet and he should pay for this because of the what he's caused. He's taken resources from the police department. Mm-hmm. They could be focusing on real cases, blah, yada, yada. And then you're going to have people who are saying, well, it's not that big of a deal. People lie all the time. Perfect example, there was a white male Olympian.
Yes, Ryan Locke.
I don't know his name, but I know he claimed he was robbed, right?
Yep, in Brazil.
In Brazil when he wasn't, and it was videotaped to show that he wasn't, but that was in Brazil, another country. It wasn't in the United States. But so you're going to have these things that influence the prosecution of the case or the non-prosecution of the case. And that happens in every district attorney's office. And Chicago is a political office just like any other city. And they have their own real issues that they have to deal with. So, but in the end of the day, I think you're going to have, if I'm the lawyer, I'm getting him evaluated. Like literally evaluated. Yeah. Forensic evaluation. He may have some mental health issues, and your spill to the court and the district attorney's office is that listen, no one in their right mind would concoct something like this unless they had some mental issues. And here's our report, Judge. They interviewed him. Now I'm hearing people floating that he may have had some drug issues.
Apparently, yes. This morning I did read an article that he has now come out to say he's been addicted to, or he's currently addicted to ecstasy.
So now you got that as mitigation. All that stuff is mitigation. And I think when you present it, now we're talking about the class thing. Despite his race, there's this class issue. And class issue, I think he's probably doing from a financial... I didn't know he came from a family of entertainers.
Apparently,
I had no idea.
His background is very colored. And I hear
he's
that he's...
Jewish, right? Or no?
I'm not sure.
Right, that I have. That.
Yeah, I haven't done so much into his right. family. But I do hear that he comes from a well-to-do family.
So, though, you know, usually well-to-do people, they don't go to jail.
Yeah. That is true.
That's American. That's the American thing. They don't go to jail. So I don't think he will go to jail. I think he will get, because of the firestorm that this case has become from a publicity standpoint, I can imagine him getting probably some community service and
some probation,
probation
maybe?
Probably at worst. That's what I think. Because, you know, his problem is going to be that he just kept pounding this thing on. And
he never pulled the plug.
And that's his problem. But I don't think, I would be very surprised if he went to jail.
You don't think that they're going to make an, like the society would make an example, or the police department make an example out of him?
I mean, listen, America has been making examples of black people for a long time. So,
I mean, I guess another one.
But I think his wealth and class and his celebrity will turn out working for him at that point.
Oh, not against him.
Not against him, for him.
Okay.
You know, look, OJ's celebrity worked out for him. Listen, depending on the jury you get in Chicago, they may not win this case.
That is true,
too. I'm not so certain of that. I'm not certain. But I think his celebrity may help him because I think he's going to have... Look, he hangs out with Kamala Harris and all these people. I think his celebrity at some point is going to help him.
So there are a lot of people who are coming out angry at Jussie because he now has, you know, set back the black community and the LGBT community.
That's all hogwash, factoidal celebrity culture meme analysis. That's bullshit.
Okay.
How? You know, that's like saying some today, some, first of all, let's talk about the history of law enforcement. The history of law enforcement in this country has always been antagonistic towards black people. When legitimate things happen that we know happen had racial undertones, things, you know, so set us back. That's like a conclusion. Like, that's just... What do you mean by set us back? Because just regardless of if something happens, there still has to be an investigation. There still should be community involvement. So I don't think this case sets it back. I think this case is just cultural entertainment. This shit is like turning on your channel and watching another series. It just ain't Empire. This is a spinoff of Empire somehow in reality. You know, but it doesn't... we got to get out of that mindset that this is this... Everything affects, you know, there's some really serious things that are affecting the black community, like our continued financial, social, political, academic alienation. Those issues that even for those of us who get these things that we think we should have gotten to achieve in America, it still doesn't reflect the American dream, mm-hmm. quote unquote, unquote. But that setting things back, no, that shit is entertainment.
Okay.
In my opinion. You know,
what about for the LGBTQ community?
Well, the LGBTQ, you know, they just lost a good, you know, let me just play devil's advocate for a bit. They lost a good spokesman for his credibility got impacted. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like he was trying to become some sort of a hero and vanguard of their revolution.
Well, he said he's the gay Tupac.
So you know, that's what happened. You know, listen. Let's get this assumption out of the way. You know, there are people in that community, just like there's people in the heterosexual black community, white community, Asian, Muslim, whatever you, Hispanic, whatever you want to call it. There's some people with great character and there's some people with not great mm-hmm. character. And this is someone in their community who his character is being called into question. And he has to reflect on that. And I think any movements should reflect on that. And I think anyone from any of these movements is saying what he's done isn't, they can even take a few approaches. They can say what he's done does not reflect us. We're throwing him out. Or they can say, yo, what he's done does not reflect us, but he's still one of us. Mm-hmm. But like whatever, you know, so, you know, it hasn't set that community back because I think that community seems to be very, in certain regards, very organized. Mm-hmm. People act like the L. One of the things that I don't like, it's not that I don't like, I don't have an opinion of it, but people assume that that community just sprout out.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Not
like it's young. Like it's young.
That's not a young community. That community have been fighting for their rights for a very long time. And, you know, James Baldwin was in that community. Mm. You know, you had Harvey Milk, I believe is the individual's name. You had, I think I may be wrong, but I'm not sure, but you had, it's so many people in that community. That's not a fresh community. And that's not a community that isn't, that is foreign to controversy. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that has set anyone back. I think any issue has a unique opportunity to stand on its own, any incident. And I don't think this incident is a marker for black people or LGBTQ community. I think this is an incident. It's another incident in the spectacle of America. And the reason why it's so interesting is because it has all those things. Mm-hmm. It has race with the MAGA and black people. It has gender issues. It has black hetero versus black LGBTQ community.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a letter.
It's,
I'm sorry.
No, like, I'm just saying. Never. So I gotta get it right. So, but it's always all those things, and it's this cocktail of spectacle of why everybody's is really engaged in it. You know, but I don't think it's the marker or standard of sending anyone back.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
No, I mean, I think I tend to agree with you with that. I think that there are so many other things that we can say that set back the community that this is not necessarily
this ain't, yeah,
it.
This ain't it.
It's not it.
This is not it. And it's so wild, though, to show you how wild this is, because somebody has showed me something where, what the hell is this dude's name? Van Jones?
Van Jones sounds familiar.
He's the dude, who's the guy, the black guy with the glasses, married, divorced from Jimmy Carter's niece, who used to work for Obama on CNN.
Van Jones. Yep.
Van Jones somehow compared him to like Jackie Robinson or something, or like he's like, what are y'all talking about? Like people are just saying stuff. And, that's unfortunate for me, that's really unfortunate as black people in this world with so much history and so much history with America personally, that we fall into these traps that are just cliche and not thinking these things through. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just saying anything. And I think we live in a day and age of saying anything because social media has created a vehicle to make money off of that.
I definitely agree with that. And I think that we're just giving a lot of ammunition to the other side as well, too. Yeah. So I just pulled up a tweet because I remember seeing a tweet from 45 himself on this Jussie Smollett situation. So
the guy who got into the presidency running on a birther movement, a hoax.
Yes, tweeting. He has comments.
All right.
So he states, what about MAGA and the tens of millions? So he actually added Jussie on this. Mm-hmm. So he goes, what about MAGA and the tens of millions of people you insulted with your racist and dangerous comments? So for him, so Donald Trump is outraged at Jussie Smollett right now.
We live in a, you know, you remember being in junior high school?
Yes.
And you come down to the lunchroom?
Yes.
America is the lunchroom in junior high school. Where everybody's at the table saying and doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a president who is intellectually disabled, emotionally disconnected, narcissistic. Honestly, I think anyone who's been around a field where you have some insight into mental health clearly has some mental health
definitely.
Issues. When you study who he is as a person, going back to his father, they are racial antagonists. I'm talking about Central Park Five. I'm talking about his dad and him down with Roy Cohn and kicking people of color out of their homes and operating in this racial manner and concerning housing. You talking about a guy who ran on the birther movement, which is a racially tinged conspiracy theory that everyone knows is false.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy who lies pretty regularly.
Very regularly.
And has and has a inner circle of billionaires and wealthy people, many who are under indictment, not many convicted.
Mm-hmm.
So you have him standing up, you know, because to me, Donald Trump has always represented white supremacy at its heightened level.
Okay.
And I say that in the sense that you can, white supremacy is showing that you can be pretty much a dumbass and fall into power with him as that example. But at the same time, it's showing it at its intellectual low as well. And who he is and what he represents. So, you know, and people talk about MAGA, and it's funny how all this shit becomes normalized. Donald Trump's racism, his mental health issues, his ignorance, it all gets normalized in the American news cycle. And they cover him as if, oh, he's just the president.
Yeah.
No, this is a bit abnormal. And you guys should report it as such. But it gets normalized. And this whole MAGA, people are even comfortable. Yo, MAGA, MAGA. Like, what does that mean? It's make America great again. And when you study the history of that cliche, that is a racially constructed cliche that can go back all the way to George Wallace and all these guys who were running for office. All of them have accessed that in some way or another. Reagan, all of them. Everyone had their version of that. Even Kennedy, and you study, and Lyndon Johnson, all these people did their version of that because they know, as Lee Atwater, the dead Republican political strategist, had said, you can't say nigger, nigger, nigger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say state rights. You got to say pro-crime and all that. That, you know, you got to do these certain things those feelings. So that's what MAGA is. So when you see some white kid walking around with that hat, that's what it's about. When you see some dumbass black person promoting that and saying, hey, you know, whether it's Candace Owens or David Clark or the foolish ass two black women who rapping and beatboxing, I forget their names. You know what I'm talking about? Diamond and Silk, whatever the hell that shit is. And for those people, instead of black people saying, you know what, we got to question all this shit. The Democrats, the Republicans, the independents, we got to organize and figure this all out. But we have these people promoting their MAGA thing. And when they promote that, that is promoting whiteness. We know that. So Donald Trump jumping out the window and utilizing that is just showing how this is a really big, it's the biggest shit show ever.
It really is. I mean, I know we were talking about earlier about how this has gotten so much just coverage. Like, this has become national.
This is national
global
news.
Maybe global
this
news,
is global
probably.
News. It's global news. Yo, we got people in Flint who are being poisoned. Children who are being poisoned. We got, in New York, the most racially segregated school system. We have the wealth in the last 20 to 25 years, the wealthiest people in the world, in America, have gotten more money, more resources, wages haven't gone up.
Nope.
You have probably, you know, just from a standpoint of education and finances, we are at this very weird space in world, mm-hmm. in modernity. And everybody's talking about some dude who clearly has some mental issues who made some shit up and got caught. Shit fell apart.
Like everybody, the plot like, fell
who
apart.
Who hasn't lied? Like, you know, they, who hasn't, yo, your mother, your father come in the house, who did this shit? No, I ain't do it. And you come up with this story.
And that's all that
and you
was.
You get caught. And that's what this shit is. But it was done by a grown man and it was done by a celebrity.
Celebrity. And that's why it's become global news. But people think that, so just along with that whole rhetoric of setting the Black community back, mm-hmm. people are saying that, you know, well, he took advantage of the pain and, you know, the pain of how racism has, like, you know, caused us so much distress, and that he's taken advantage of that to elevate his own platform.
Of course he did. And that's what America has mastered that mm-hmm. shit. Like, who has, like, look, what do y'all think this entertainment business is? The entertainment business is basically have mastered selling Black pain and dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Politicians, who we all want to stump for and get out here for, they are taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he try to take advantage of that is the real question, because we are so accepting of that and we have become comfortable dealing with that.
So he's probably not as crazy as we're all thinking.
No.
Then. He's actually probably quite sane.
Yo, listen, and you got people, oh, he ruined his career. No, he didn't. You know what he did? He put himself in another position where, what do they say? No news is good news. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have to deal with that for a very long time. There's always going to be a what happened to that guy.
That is true.
And if you tell
special.
Me, yes, and if you telling me he got wealth and money in a community, mm-hmm. yo, he in the running. You know, how did he get to that space to even begin with? Where, why is it that big of a news? Is he really that big of a star? Does he have a body of work that you would be like, wow, okay?
All I know is that he is Jamal. From Empire.
See, I never watched it.
A show. I watched Empire, I think season one, season two, and then I stopped. So I haven't watched Empire for a while, actually. Okay. Maybe over a year, if not 2 years. But I just remember his character on there. And that's all I know him from. I know that he can sing because on the show he sings. I liked one of his songs when I first saw, you know, watched it and downloaded it. But mm-hmm. that's about it. Yeah, I don't see, know I anything else.
I don't know much about him, but I don't think this is the end of his career. Mm-hmm. I think he has... grabbed his seat in the American spectacle. So now what he can make out of it, what his PR people can spin out of it, mm-hmm. what his brand strategists can construct out of it, it'll be whatever it is, but it's a distraction though.
First, do you think there's something larger brewing and that's what all this is? I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist,
no,
but some people...
I think it's a distraction. I think entertainment in general is a distraction, particularly for the Black community. I think entertainment is a powerful tool for corporations mm-hmm. and oligarchs and Black people who want in, mm-hmm. but the entertainment is a vehicle and a dangerous vehicle to sell the American dream for Black people and distract them. You okay. know, look, hey, you know, you can be the stripper in a club and yo, you can pull yourself up by the bootstraps and yo, you can become a darling, a media darling mm-hmm. overnight if you just work hard enough.
On and the pole or?
Yeah. but that's the kind of environment.
You got to put in that
yeah,
work.
You got to put in that. And that's all bullshit. Because when you start looking at this system of capitalism in America, this system of capitalism is not about meritocracy. Mm-hmm. The wealth, people always, yo, got to hustle hard, blah, blah, blah. Get that wealth. If you study the generating of wealth in this capitalist society, at least in America, is more often than not generational. Mm-hmm. You could work your ass off. You're not going to work harder than a fucking slave.
Yeah.
And when you look at the American structure and this superstructure that's been created, people who have wealth, that wealth is on the heels of extreme poverty in the working class. And now we, as Black people, are sold this entertainment dream. Mm-hmm. And we believe in that shit. And it's a powerful thing. And that's why this Jesse Smollett thing or whatever is so powerful, because, you know, we've kind of clocked out of innovating in other areas of society.
I think you're definitely right on that, because I'm just thinking about even with my child, mm-hmm. my son is 12, mm-hmm. and you know, you ask kids nowadays, what do you want to be when you mm-hmm. grow up? Mm-hmm. It's either some sort of like basketball player, mm-hmm. it's some sort of rapper, mm-hmm. so it's something entertainment. It's not, and then the fallback now is like, well, I guess I'll be a lawyer like you then, or that's the fallback now. Yeah.
And it's wild, because when you think about it historically, America is like you ever seen Black Mirror?
No.
It's a great show on Netflix. America to me is like a long ass Black Mirror episode. It just happened to be 240 years long. This is not a long ass country. It's been here a very short period of mm-hmm. time in the world of powers, powerful countries. But some 240 to 50 years ago, white society created a system in which they made millions of dollars off of enslaving us and being brutal to us, mm-hmm. and helped sow the seeds of it becoming one of the most powerful nations in modernity and industrialism through our free labor and us being terrorized. Mm-hmm. Some now, 250 years later, those descendants of that have created a system where they make billions off of entertaining and peddling our alienation, our pain, mm-hmm. our dysfunction. Billions are made off of that. And generation after generation, our children do not want to be scientists, whatever, man. There's so many things you could do in the world. Geologist, electrician, who knows? Civil engineer, someone good with your hands, plumber. Our children want to be that. And the reason for that is because of the tools that have been made and are used to inundate us with that. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in this society on an entertainment level where I firmly believe the virtual world, we're going to be soon in a place where, and I don't think it's in the too distant future, where people will be sitting and defecating and pissing on themselves because they got their virtual glasses on and it just feels right where they at. Mm-hmm. And they ain't got to get up. And all this shit is an example of that to me. And nobody's willing to say, you know what, that shit is not working. This, you know, and we're not, what are we gaining from it? And you know, that's why I'm kind of resistant to this, to mm-hmm. this guy and his story. I don't really care. I'm indifferent to it.
Yeah.
I'm not wishing no jail on him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, I don't care about whether he gets his career going either.
He's just another guy.
It's just, because listen, I'm very careful. Like, when you study our history, a large percentage of Black people, they ain't give a shit about what Ida B. Wells was saying or doing, or Fannie Hamer, mm-hmm. or Harriet, or, you know, people want to love and quote Malcolm now, but Black people wasn't fucking with Malcolm like that then. If they were, we would be in a different space or have a different understanding. We were very resistant to that. So for me, when we just are attracted to all this clickbait shit, it's like a sign for me, I'm no better than anyone. I'm just not fucking with that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true story.
You know what I'm saying? That's just where I'm like, wow. So, you said, is there something else bigger going on? Yeah, I think what's bigger going on is the fucking planet is falling apart at the seams, environmentally, mm-hmm. infrastructure here. And at the same time, Black people are in no better position to control our narrative than we were when my mom was my age, when my grandmother was my age, mm-hmm. when my great-grandfather was my age, and so on and so on and so on. So I can't possibly be invested in this shit like that.
So what do you think the big takeaway is then from all of this? I mean, for us who, because I'm kind of with you with that, you know, like it's dominating news and, you know, people kind of want to know.
Stop fucking with this entertainment shit.
Okay.
Pick up a book. Take your ass to school. Go see what your grandmother doing that you didn't speak to in years.
Go check on
your
her.
Cousin. Go check on your cousin. You know, like, yo, kick it with your kids, the kids in the community. Like, give them something real that they can hold on to help figure out and mm-hmm. navigate. And this world is getting more and more complicated, that we are less in position to control our narrative. Because this shit ain't it. You know, like, this is not it. And all of it becomes entertainment, you know, whether it's this shit or it's some political thing. Mm-hmm. You know, did you see Kamala and Reverend Al at Sylvia's with the cameraman and all the camera people taking pictures of them and the hot sauce on the table? Mm-hmm. And like, what are we doing?
As opposed to what's Kamala's platform?
Yeah, what's our platform? Like, Black Lives Matter. What's your platform concerning poor people, man?
Yeah.
Yo, do y'all go to Brownsville? Do y'all go in Flatbush and Crown Heights where the young kids are still getting shot up in the fucking hallway and mm-hmm. dying? Are y'all taking over these schools? Because if it's just a money grab where you got the Ford Foundation or the Koch brothers mm-hmm. are giving money and you have a PR team and all this other stuff, and DeRay with his blue vest has become a personality, and like, what are we doing? Like, you know, I'm not with it.
I feel like we think that's where the value comes in.
Clearly.
Or that's where, you know, our self-worth comes.
Clearly.
Because, you know, even with myself, just thinking about, you know, moving forward in like my career, my life, mm-hmm. like, how do I leave an impact? Mm-hmm. For some reason, it's like if you're not connected somehow with, I guess, what you're considering to be entertainment, mm-hmm. then, you know, you really can't make that big of an impact. You really can't be that person that you want to be.
We've convinced ourselves that these people, the Jays, the 50s, the Oprahs, the whoever, the Kamala Harris's, the Obama, Steph Curry's, that they've broke the cheat code. Mm-hmm. They figured it out. And unfortunately, you have grown people to aspiring to. I saw something the other day with Steph Curry and Obama going to some underprivileged neighborhood in Oakland and speaking to these young black men about pulling their pants up and toxic masculinity and all this shit. And it was just odd to me to look at that image of two guys who are in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
They're multimillionaires in the 1%. And that's the only advice that they have to give to these kids. Not how to create or innovate a new way to live,
mm-hmm.
which is what young black kids should be getting hip to. Not joining a club that is exclusive, not inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys who got into that club, that exclusive club, is preaching to the masses of kids who have no access to that club
mm-hmm.
on behavior. And it's just wild. It's just a wild thing to be a part of. It's a wild thing to watch. And it's terribly challenging trying to come up and innovate and build with people to create something else. Because we're trained to think, we're in a very weird space as far as critical thinking.
Yeah.
You know.
And I know we were talking about that before we got on as well, too. I don't think people are critically thinking.
No,
most people are getting information from even the memes. The memes is what's informing people of what's going on. I think even with Black History Month, I don't know about you, but I felt like this was a very odd Black History Month for me. I feel like there wasn't enough. I don't know. It's just odd.
We're only 54 years away from people like Martin and Malcolm dying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a generation of kids who have no idea what any of that shit is.
Well, I mean, last weekend my church was having a Black History Month event, mm-hmm. and they were having they were doing this trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the questions was, you know, who killed Martin Luther King?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying Lee Harvey Oswald. They were saying John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, this is John Wilkes Booth.
And so there was one other person, but it was like which one of these mm-hmm. is Lee Harvey Oswald, John Wilkes Booth, and I can't remember who the third one is. A kid said, John Wilkes Booth. And then they were like, yes, you get the prize. And I'm sitting here like no. Wait, you mean Lincoln, right?
Yeah, like, yo, this is
But that's what's happening. Like, so, you know, even my people my age who are teaching now, the younger generation, they don't have a good grasp of history. And so now the kids are getting, like, false information. Because now they're running around saying that it's John Wilkes Booth that killed Martin Luther King.
It's really a sad... You know, I don't think many kids are going to soon be able to even recognize some of these people mm-hmm. who they should know.
Yeah.
They'll be able to recognize these entertainers.
Yeah, no, they definitely will.
Of the modern day. I the other day, we were in a class working with Jamie Hector and his Moving Mountains Foundation. And we asked kids, did they know who Dr. Ivan Sertima, John Clark, or, you know, Francis Welsing, Joyce DeGruy, all these great Black historians and mm-hmm. historians and thinkers. They knew nothing about these people. They did know Kuda B and Takashi and all this other yep. stuff. And it's shameful. And you can say whatever you want about that. Oh, you know, it's art. First of all art ain't good. All
that
entertainment
is true.
Ain't good. All of it doesn't have this intrinsic social value. Mm-hmm. And we're in a weird space, you know. And so that's what the Jesse Smollett thing to me is. It's just another distraction. And it's perfect though, because it's race, gender.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff.
I mean, what I would have hoped is that I would have hoped that it would have probably caused people to start thinking more critically about these issues. But instead, I mean, you saw, I mean, some of the stuff that we talked about, some of the questions and things that I've been seeing online, you know, people are more so outraged, and they're like, their whole thing, like what I'm seeing now was really this whole setback thing. That's the main idea.
That's ridiculous. And you know what would cause someone to say that? When they don't know their history. Mm. And at the same time, simultaneously, you don't know what's going on a day-to-day basis. You even say some stupid shit like that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think a lot of people are just ear hustlers. They're social media. So they mm-hmm. see it out there. And then that's where, like, they won't even really go online mm-hmm. to actually see the real story. They'll just go by what, you know, Instagram says.
I agree. Look, you know, you got that. You got R. Kelly. You got...
Which is another situation. That's,
you know, you got, it's a lot of... It's all these isolated... you know, it's almost as though we can't think critically about our lives unless it's through the lens of entertainment.
That is true. And if it almost feels like it's the entertainment industry that's driving the social issues, right?
They don't want, now, somebody's making money off of that.
Yeah. Because people are, I mean, sexual assault awareness within the community mm-hmm. now really was prompted. Although, I mean, I've been doing events on this like for the last couple of years. People don't talk mm-hmm. about it. But now that this R. Kelly thing is coming, even white people are having forums called Surviving R. Kelly.
That's crazy.
And so I saw one like a couple of weeks ago.
That's crazy for me in a society that was, and I'm talking about American society, was built on violence, rape, exploitation. Mm-hmm. You know, that is America, you know. And that's been there for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, the fact that, you got to think America is a, and listen, when I say anti-intellectual, I'm not talking about you ain't go to Harvard. I'm talking about we live in a society that capitalizes on not thinking, mm-hmm. not being. The only way you can end up with a Donald Trump as a president is an anti-intellectual society. And America is that. We in a weird space.
I think we are too. I mean, do you foresee us getting out of this space?
No, not right. Not in the immediate future. Mm. I think in the immediate future, it's only going to get weirder. It has to. You know, you. It's scientific that you reap what you sow. That's not some conspiracy shit. Like what you put into certain things is what you get out of it. And I think America has put nothing into. Think about America as a country. Like they always come up with this, the best, we're the best doctors, we're the best this, we're the best that. This society was built off of excluding whole classes of people. Mm-hmm. So how could you say you're the best in something that you excluded so many different people? And I think we're seeing the result of what happens when you exclude that. But then on paper, you have this great Anglo edict of Bill of Rights and the mm-hmm. Constitution and all this other shit. And we're seeing what happens when you don't have a true, insightful innovative truth to power educational system. You generate educated dummies. You generate people with degrees who can't think, who don't know. You have families that have just enough from a capitalist standpoint to look the part. Their kids have all the tools, have the nice clothes, but they can't figure some shit out. You know, they just have no idea how to make a decision or a choice or to discern. And particularly for Black people, we don't know how to discern what is dangerous and what's not anymore. It was a period we did, but I think America did a very good job. You know, America went to war against Black people in so many terms. You know, they did. And then as a result of that war, we have lost our ability to discern. We've lost our ability to step away from the spectacle and to innovate. Our projection of coming up in this society now is trying to get as close to whiteness as possible because we know we can't do what Irish and Italian people did who were not considered white or Jewish people did initially. They weren't a part of this whiteness nationalistic experiment, but because of the pigment of their skin, they were allowed and whiteness expanded to accept them. Whiteness is such an illogical construct and such a false construct that it has never allowed us to be a part of it. So in turn, I think why entertainment is so enticing for Black people is because that is a vehicle for us to get close to whiteness. And what I mean by that is get this education, get this wealth. Maybe you can, but as we saw, that doesn't get you any closer to
it. It really
that.
Doesn't.
It can't.
It you know, really doesn't.
You know, when I saw I saw somebody, the NBA is getting into Africa.
Yes, I did see that. They're opening they're starting several teams now.
And it's like, you know, I'm antagonistic to that. You know,
okay.
You know, you got to have a globe, you got to have a wicked jump shot. A cell crack rock is going global now. And the NBA and Obama is all across the continent pushing that as Russia and China and all these other Europeans countries continue to carve up Africa. And it's something Malcolm said years ago that if we, you know, the state of Africa is just is a microcosm of the state of Black people in the world on all four corners, whether you go to Brazil, South America, or wherever you go with us, is that we're disorganized and we're not understanding what's at stake, and the rest of the world is taking advantage of that. And if that's all we can come up with, that's the only thing we can get up to be excited about.
The NBA in Africa.
The NBA in Africa. You know, and I had somebody like, well, they've been there for a while and they're doing stuff to help. And I'm like, look, time will tell.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, like time will tell. But you know what? I ain't waiting for that shit. Like if we're waiting for that, we're bugging out. We need to be educating our children. So that when they see this, just imagine if Black kids in general got to the point where it was cool, where they don't fuck with mainstream pop culture. Like it would fall on its face. And when I say mainstream, I'm talking about entertainment. I'm talking about fashion. I'm talking about social media. Like literally, like in the 60s where the youth was like, yo, we ain't fucking with this shit. We going this way. Society lost it.
Yeah.
Imagine if our kids got to that point in this day and age. It would be
truly revolutionary.
Yes, it would. But, you know, we are not, you know, we're not there. I'm not saying it can't happen. I think it's got to get a little bit more dire.
A little uglier.
Uglier for the seeds of something like that to make sense.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I don't think I will see the change that I would like to see in my lifetime. But I like to be a part of it.
From now, doing what
from
you
now,
can do.
Doing what I do.
When you have your nonprofit.
Have a
nonprofit. You doing what you got to do.
We're in Brownsville. We work with Nadia Lopez at Mott Hall Bridges. We've been there for about 5 years. We've been at other schools in Brownsville offering a mentoring and curriculum program that teaches everything from coding to mock trials to critical thinking to creative direction to the arts. To writing, all those things. We have a program where we intern or mentor high school students at our office during the week. We just recently started was asked to help train teachers to understand what it's like to teach young kids of color, mm-hmm. particularly males, and accessing history and breaking out of these systemic curriculums that aren't really helping our children.
That is true.
So we're doing whatever we're doing what we can, and that ain't enough. You know what I'm saying? So,
but at least you're doing.
Yeah, I don't think it's money. People confuse it and think it's money, and that's why they put so much faith in these entertainers, because mm-hmm. they're looking at the pockets of these entertainers. It has nothing to do with money. It's the ideology. You know, what's screwing us even now, it isn't money. It's that everyone believes in the ideology of white supremacy.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing we need to figure this out. And no one's innovating something non-Eurocentric and believing in it. And you know, it's the ideology. Like, what is our ideology? And mm-hmm. ain't nobody pushing an ideology.
Yeah.
These political black politicians, they're not pushing a black ideology or anything black and nationalistic.
I think they're just trying to get elected.
All of them.
That's all it is, to be honest.
Every single one of them, from Obama on down. Like, they're not, and that's not my knock on them. Look, that's your pimping ain't easy. That's your hustle. I get that. But that's not, you can't convince me. The only, you know, you hear people, well, you know, you got to work from the inside and, you know, what do you want? Yo, this is where we got to. Yeah, I get all that. I get that. But you know what? Somebody got to do something else. Mm-hmm. And until we start doing something else, it's going to be more of the same.
Well, on
but
that
it's
note. So depressing. A depressing ending to this show.
You know what it is? We should look at that for inspiration. Like, I work in these federal courts and state courts. I help interview people who get on the bench, the state bench eventually. I deal with all these spaces where it's very few of us. And because of that, I'm inspired. I'm not inspired because I'm there. As Malcolm said, I'm the only one there. No, I'm inspired because that makes me think back to how much my ancestors have been cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get my shit together, the people who are going to call me an ancestor one day, they will have been cheated. So that, I don't have time to be sad or mad or depressing, only for a second, maybe melancholy, but it's inspirational to know that how much we've been through and that you're still there and you get up with people like yourself, and others who are trying to push critical thought and who are doing certain things, and you put your heads together and you put it into play and then you reflect and you do something else. But the goal is to leave a blueprint and pass on a baton to that 11, 12-year-old so that they can, because their understanding of it, they have to understand what we understood or saw, but they got to have their own understanding of it. You know, because
in order for it to work.
Yeah, because it's affecting them differently. You know, my kids, your kid, I'm sure their interaction with this stuff is different than ours. And people like to say, well, when I was younger, it's still kind of the same thing, but different variations of it. Like, think about it. Like, I think I'm a nice bit older than you. but you know, that being said, your kid is interacting with white America and America totally different than you were. And they're getting this stuff, but they need an understanding of what's going on to really get the wisdom that they need to figure it out. Because I don't think it's not post-racial. It's not any easier for them. You know, what's the most expensive thing you can invest in America? One of these is an education.
Yeah.
And we're still at the social caste system. We're still, unfortunately, at the bottom. And I think it was a report that came out recently in the last couple of years where it showed even affluent black kids have difficulty in controlling their narrative. Their pay ain't the same.
Yeah.
The opportunity still ain't the same. That's telling you something.
Yeah.
You know, and what that's telling us is that to get out of this superstructure, we have to create something else. And we got to get sick of this bullshit.
This like Jesse
Smollett or whatever the
after
hell
After today,
name.
We're not talking about no, it no more.
I hope they do get his shit together. But that shit is a distraction.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, this is cool.
No, this was real. I mean, I'm really happy that we were able to talk about it. I think that we've dispelled a lot of these myths, mm-hmm. touched on some topics. And I think hopefully encourage people to kind of be more, think more critically and
The other day, somebody hit me on Twitter like, yo, you see this shit with Bob Kraft? Yo, you think they got him because he helping black people and Meek Mills?
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, no, I don't. I think it's a rich white man who got caught doing what rich white men do. And that's it.
And that's it.
And then I was like, yo, helping black people how? Like, that's what we got to do now is say, yo, that's all that has to happen now. Rich black person gets up with wealthy, mm-hmm. you see the difference, not rich white person.
Yeah.
Wealthy white person and say, yo, we doing something for y'all. Criminal justice reform. Yo, holla, come over here. Look, photo op. And all of a sudden, hundreds of thousands and millions of black people are sold.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The shit has never affected their community. Whatever was going on didn't reach their kids. But that image, that visualization of it is just enough.
That's all it is.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
That's some scary shit.
It's very scary because then it's just like, what is the future really going to look like?
It's going to be wild.
I don't want to be here for it.
It's going to be wild. Me either.
All right, man. Well, thank you, Ken.
Thank you
so much. I definitely want to get you back on the show at some point because there's so much to talk about, especially with the community. So definitely I will be hitting you up.
Thank you.
All right. So that is a wrap for this episode. Again, thank you so much, Ken. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7